I thought that I should take as my life verse the Lord's words in the Sermon on the Mount where he says, you cannot add one cubit to your stature. I'm also mindful of the fact that two elders and two deacons couldn't figure out how to deal with this pulpit up here. I thought that was in the qualifications of elders and deacons. We have one of those sermon titles today which is a one-size-fits-all again. Just like the last time I was with you, let's build a better world. That title could be taken to so many places in the Bible and applied. And this title could, too, look into God's mirror. Well, you can go about anywhere you want to in the Bible. James tells us that the Word of God is like a mirror. Let me read, as you follow, Titus 3, 1, 2, and 3. 1 and 2 for review, and verse 3 for our text today. And to remind you, I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Let's ask God's blessing. Our God in heaven, we're here like little birds waiting to be fed. And we believe you can do that, giving to each one of us, as we open our hearts and minds to you, precisely what is going to be helpful to us. So do that, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Will you agree with this observation? A good standard mirror reflects what is in front of it. Put an African elephant lifting its trunk in front of a mirror, and the mirror reflects an African elephant lifting its trunk. Place a 5-carat diamond resting on black velvet in front of a mirror, and the mirror reflects a 5-carat diamond resting on velvet. And put you or me in front of a mirror, and it reflects you or me. Nothing more, nothing less. A good mirror reflects what is in front of it. James tells us the Bible refers to itself as a mirror. That means that any person who places his life in front of the Bible mirror will see reflected an accurate and clear image of himself. A mirror reveals reality, the truth, what there is. So our sermon theme today, look into God's mirror. In particular, verse 3 of Titus 3. And in a way, this is going to be more like looking into that mirror when you're trying on your new suit now, where there's a mirror and a mirror and a mirror, and you can see all the way around you. Now, why do I want to do this? I have 4 sermon points to explain why, if you want to follow along that sheet of paper that's in the bulletin. So, let's begin. It counters a tendency to forget. There are a lot of things that ought to be forgotten. We probably don't forget as much as we ought to. We should not hang on to everything from the past. But the Bible does encourage Christians to remember their pre-Christian condition. Paul does that right here in verse number 3 in our text. Do you see the words, "For we ourselves were," we were, there we are. We're thinking back. And now pick up the two words at the beginning of verse 4. But when? But after. We were, but when? You get it? Before and after. Paul is contrasting the lives of these people and himself. We were. You see, he's putting himself in here. Before and after the salvation experience, he lists 7 descriptions of sin. There are many others, but he just kind of throws these out for starters. And Paul does not necessarily mean, you need to get a hold of this, he doesn't necessarily mean that all the Christians on the island of Crete did or were all of these sins. That's not what he means. His point is that they should not forget the kind of sins they did and the degree of sinning they could have done. Not only what they did, but what they could have done. That's why he lists things like this and tosses them out. We might at first say, well, I never did that. But Paul is saying you could have as a sinner. They are not to forget their spiritual roots. They are to be aware of their past actual sins and their potential for sinning, which was and is much greater than what they actually did. We know that about ourselves, don't we? Whatever we did by way of sin, we hang our head at that. And if we're honest with ourselves, we know it could have gone much farther than it did. You see, Paul does this same thing in lots of places. This isn't a one-time place where he does this sort of, we were, but when. 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11, he does it. Ephesians 4, 17-24, he brings out the same idea. He does it a variety of places. And just to make sure we really believe that he means what he says, you read over later 1 Timothy 1, 12-16, where he speaks specifically about himself. I was this, and I did that. And he gets on to the fact that he's now something far different. But he's remembering what he was. This is one of the values of the Bible as a mirror. It reflects not only a saved sinner's present condition, which is wonderful, but it reflects his past as well. Apparently, God wants his people never to forget where he found them and how he has blessed them since. He's basically saying, where were you when I made a difference in your life? And isn't that what God did often with the Jews in the Old Testament? How many times did he say, like at the beginning of giving the law in Exodus 20, I brought you out. I brought you out of slavery. And all the way through, as you read the Old Testament, you find that same idea. God keeps telling them over and over again, I brought you out of. Now you think about that a minute, he says. He reminded them, you were slaves in Egypt. You faced this, that, and the other, and I delivered you from all of it. Now I know that we all want to forget past sins. Isn't it interesting? so many past sins we really wish we could forget, and boy, are they right there in our minds. And we'd like to forget, or at least not hear about, our potential for sin in the past. You could have. In one sense, we can forget, yes. That's another sermon or two or three. We are justified. Praise God for that. Declared righteous. No condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Absolutely true. But God does not want us to totally forget. Bible reading will inevitably bring our sinfulness to our attention. Past, present. That's one of the purposes. That's a good thing for several reasons. I'm interested in the one that is right here in our text, and it's our next point, point B. So let's be sure to look into God's mirror. The first thing we're seeing, we look into God's mirror to counter the tendency to forget our spiritual past. We don't want to do that. We don't want to dwell on that, but we don't want to forget it. Point B, it restrains a tendency to compare. Oh, how important this is. Is it possible that we struggle with doing verses 1 and 2 that we talked about last time? A right relationship to those over us in society and a right relationship to those around us in society. Rulers, authorities, co-workers, neighbors, family members. Is it possible that we disrespect, dishonor, disobey out of pride toward another? Is it possible that we dare to talk to or dare to talk about people without gentleness and meekness because we believe maybe they don't deserve quite that much from us? Is it possible that we quarrel and wrangle partly because we place ourselves above the other somehow? And Paul jumps right in and he says, remember what you were before you start comparing. Is it possible that we go so far as to mark certain others as greater sinners than we are? Are we looking down at others, even if it is only from a short distance above them? Are we comparing ourselves to them? You answer. In verse 1, we're asked, we noted a couple weeks ago, we're asked to be humble and helpful to those over us. Be humble and helpful to those in authority over you, whether it's the umpire at the Little League game or the policeman standing on the corner or going down the list of all of those that are over us. We're to be humble and helpful as much as possible. In verse 2, we're directed to be positive and peaceful with those around us, whether at work or at play or in the home or in the church. It's not easy. But it becomes easier when people stop comparing. Here's where verse 3 comes into the argument. Verse 3 is a reason verse. Do you see the first word in verse 3? For, let me give you a reason. Let me elaborate on what I just said in verses 1 and 2. This is an explanation of what just came before it. Here is help for any Christian who has difficulty carrying out the instructions of verse 1 and 2. Yes, you're struggling with right relationships with those over you and around you. Is that something that you're battling? For reason. The reason is we're cut from the same cloth as they are. You're out of the same bolt of material spiritually. Should saved sinners refuse to follow Paul's words when they, in verses 1 and 2, when they remember the sins they've committed? Or wanted to commit? We've got a list of those, don't we? I'd do this if I didn't get in trouble. I'd do this if I didn't get caught, if nobody knew. You have a list of those? Could have committed? Even do now commit? You see, Paul is saying, we want to make a better world, verse 1 and verse 2. We want a better world with those over us, with those around us, wherever we are. And in order to help us to do that, he says, just remember what you were. What I was. Christians need to look into God's mirror so that they don't forget that they needed a Savior as much as anybody else did or does. They were facing the same judgment of God. They were unfit for heaven, but tailor-made for hell. They were not a cut above, but on a par with the greatest of sinners. Jesus, I don't believe, suffered any less and died any easier for me than the one I want to compare myself to. Can any Christian rightly claim a goodness or a greatness which influenced God to save him? Jesus taught this very point, didn't he? It's recorded in Luke 13, 1 to 5. He's talking, he said, now, we heard about all of these stones from the Tower of Siloam, and they fell on a bunch of people. And then he says, now, let's not think they were any greater sinners than anybody else. Gives another illustration after that. The whole point is, now, wait a minute. Jesus explained that every sinner is the same and needs the same salvation from God. That's why Paul said what he did in Romans 3:10 in that list of things. And he says, no one is right with God. No, not so much as even one. We're all the same. A few verses later, all have sinned. All fall short of the glory of God. So Paul says, look into the mirror of Scripture. It counters a tendency to forget what we were. And it restrains a tendency then to compare with those around us. I think verse 3 is kind of like Novocaine. Do you take Novocaine when you have that tooth work done? Or are you tough? I'm not tough. Pour it on. Bring it in. And I don't like needles. But I like Novocaine. Verse 3 is the Novocaine for verses 1 and 2. You're having a little pain dealing with those over you and around you? You're struggling with that? Here's the Novocaine. Remember what you were. That should make it easier for you to bear with those around you and over you. The anesthesia of memory will ease the discomfort for ministry that Christians are called to do. Memory can be anesthesia. So, I think this slips us smoothly into point C. You ready for point C? It promotes a tendency to oblige. We're just kind of moving right along the same path here. Who cannot fulfill verses 1 and 2? Who understands verse 3? What Christian will continue to disrespect those over him and around him after seeing himself in the mirror as the same thing? How can I treat you this way when I see what I was and could have been? The Christian who really comes to grips with his own past and present sinfulness will be willing to oblige. I like that word, oblige. Willing to oblige, won't he? Won't she? Even when those over and around seem to be undeserving, the Christian says, well, so am I. I don't deserve respect. I don't deserve help. I don't deserve anything. Well, I know one thing I deserve, one place I deserve. The Christian swallows pride and accepts the reminder to be subject to rulers and authorities and to obey, being ready to every good work. The Christian bites his or her tongue so as not to speak evil of anyone, as is given to us here. The Christian refuses to fight, argue, be in the face of others. He or she practices moderation toward all men. The ball player, baseball player, with many more strikeouts than hits, should think twice about criticizing the other batters on the team. I don't know how each of us needs to apply the lesson presented here. Do you need to carry some of this to work with you? Struggling with those over you or around you, and do you need to say, but what was I? What could I have been? Do you need to do this at home? Trying to deal with relationships? Mom and dad with each other? Kids and parents with each other. Do I need to remind myself, well, what was I? What am I? Don't I need to be a little obliging here? No, that's mine. He got it first last time. I should have it this time. And that sounds petty with children, doesn't it? But how many adults do that same thing in life? The Holy Spirit can reveal to you just what you should do with this in the church, in relationships. What were you? But I urge you to oblige the Spirit in what He's given here and oblige others as Paul teaches. Regular looks. Oh, come on. How many times a day do you look in the mirror? I mean, the one on the wall. We're always looking in the mirror. And we're looking in this mirror. Regular looks into the Bible mirror will promote a tendency to oblige, as well as counter a tendency to forget. And restrain a tendency to compare. It leaves us only one more point, D. It wakens a tendency to witness. So many believers struggle with witnessing. I don't know how to begin. I don't know what to say. It's hard. Well, maybe this will help. Imagine a woman whose face is badly burned. She visits a plastic surgeon who transforms her scarred face to beauty queen status. Can you see it? From the scarring of the burns to beauty queen status. Wow. Now when she gazes into a mirror, she remembers her appearance before. And with thankful joy, she sees what she is now. Now, do you think she would be sympathetic toward other facial burn victims? Or would she proudly compare her present beauty to their scarred disfigurement? Oh my, isn't it sad about you? I'm so beautiful now. Would she speak harshly to them? Would she point out all of their ugliness? Or would she be inclined to tell other burn patients about her skillful and magnificent surgeon? Wouldn't she be inclined to say, "Here's a picture of me with all my scars. Look at me now." Wouldn't she want to inform them that there is one who can help them just like she was helped? Wouldn't the healed woman see herself as the suffering one and do her best to show the other one the way to the surgeon? "Here, let me take you to my surgeon. Look what he can do." And how about it, Christian? We look into God's mirror, the Bible, and remember our condition before. And with thankful joy, what we are now by God's grace. No condemnation. Justified. And we see others over us and around us who are just like we were. Don't we have the tendency to tell them about our spiritual surgeon? We don't want to compare. We don't want to fight with you. Let me tell you about my surgeon. Aren't we eager to explain to them how much the Lord Jesus Christ can do to take them from the scarring and disfigurement caused by sin and to totally transform that? Wouldn't you want to tell somebody that? Do we not pray for a gentle and meek attitude so that we can approach others with our good news? And it's good news. How sad if professing Christians do nothing to help those over us and around us find the Lord and His salvation. How sad if all that is done is to point out and condemn and criticize and react to the effects of sin in their lives. What about the effects of sin in our lives? That the Lord Jesus, what's that old song? "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." You want to talk to somebody still in their sin? Tell this made up story about the scarred woman. And then tell them why you're telling them that. You can do it. If He's taking care of your scars, your disfigurement. Well, we have to close. The Bible's like a mirror. It's God's mirror given to us to see ourselves better. What does this do for us? Let's review. One, it counters our tendency to forget the depth of our sinfulness. Stay in the Bible. It reveals how much Jesus had to do to rescue us from our self-destroying condition. Oh, He had to do so much. Like, die on the cross. It reminds us how sinful we were. How much more sinful we could have been if the Lord had let us totally go our own way. How does this help us, too? It restrains our tendency to compare ourselves to those over us and around us. We will be less inclined to see ourselves as better than others, so that we feel less inclined to disrespect them. I hear some of the younger generation talking about so-and-so dissed me. We shouldn't be dissing. We want to be humble and helpful and positive and peaceful to others. This flows into the next point. It promotes a tendency to oblige ourselves for the good of others, even those who don't deserve it, because we didn't deserve it. It's easier to help those who I see like myself. Why is it they talk about leper colonies? Because all those lepers together kind of know how to deal with it. They're all the same. They're all losing fingers. They're all scarred. They're all disfigured. So they can go together. Why are all those hobos together down there at the railroad yard? Because they're all in the same condition. And Paul is saying, look, you're all in the same condition. Oblige one another. Have some of my beans. Take my extra cold, whatever. And then lastly, it wakens a tendency to witness to those who need the same thing that we've already found, or that found us. When we look into God's Word and see the whole world the same as we were, and we know how they can find help to change, we want to testify. We want to tell them, yes, we were. We'll get to verse 4 next time. But when? So, assignment. Look into God's mirror. The benefits are enormous. The blessing will be ours, and through us, blessing the whole world around us. It will help us to make a better world. And that's what we want. Let's pray together. Our God in heaven, thank you so much for speaking our language through Paul. Holy Spirit, thank you for guiding his pen, so that the words would have meaning to us for our lives today. Help us, our God. We're looking in your mirror, so help us to see what we're supposed to see in our own individual personal lives. May it all lead to your glory. May it move us to tell others what we've found. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.